This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Welcome to our program Community Matters on Radio K Pulpit. My guest today is Anna Marie Ross, and today we are going to look at what life coaching is and how the community, specifically persons with disabilities, can benefit from this life coaching process. Welcome to our program, Anna Marie.
Thank you so much, Bonnie.
Anna Marie, tell us more about yourself.
Oh, I studied long time ago, 30 years ago. I studied as an audiologist and a speech therapist. And then I started doing my own thing in my own business called Mind Skills Coach, where I now do life coaching, executive coaching, and business coaching as well.
Now, life coaching, why could people with disabilities benefit from it?
You're funny. We find ourselves in environments that are constantly changing. The economy, we know all about artificial intelligence and how it affects our lives. The weather, I mean, Gauteng has got winter rain currently.
Yeah.
Our own worlds are changing as well, where we work, where we live, how we buy things. Technology is a major contributing factor for this change, and it affects all our lives. And there is that saying that I think most of us know, that the only constant in life is change. So on the other hand, with all this change, we remain the same. Our thinking,
yeah,
what we believe, and our assumptions about life, there are so many times, instances that we think the same as when we were 10 and 20 and 30 years old.
Yeah.
And we never change that thinking. It's really very difficult for us to change our thinking, and it takes much longer for our thinking to change than what it is for technology to change. So we must constantly ask ourselves whether our way of thinking is still correct.
No.
I mean, does it still allow space for growth? Or is it just an old footpath that we walk because it's familiar?
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily lead us to water. So that is where life coaching comes in. It really challenges you to think differently. It helps you to critically evaluate your belief systems, and this is how you think about life. It's got nothing to do with religion.
Yeah.
We must wake up and think about how we think, because most of our thinking take place subconsciously. We function on autopilot or sort of half asleep. There's a statistic that says 70 to 90% of our day, we are on autopilot with,
yeah,
regards to our thinking and our behavior. And I think that's quite a scary statistic.
Yeah.
So life coaching for people with disabilities is exactly the same. It helps people to critically evaluate their thinking on the basis of the result that it produces. So it empowers people to look at their challenges in different ways, always with personal development, independence, and empowerment as a goal. It helps people to better know themselves and give insight into their own skills and talents and really who they are. And of course, this process also helps build confidence. You can imagine, it really is a wonderful and a transformative process for me.
Yeah, that's very, very interesting. It's our program Community Matters on K-Pulpit. My guest is Anna Marie Ross. She's a life coach, and we look at the disability perspective on this issue. But it's now time for us for music, and then I'll continue talking to Anna Marie Ross. Stay tuned. This is our program Community Matters on K-Pulpit, and my guest is Anna Marie Ross, and we're going to look at what life coaching is and how the community, specifically persons with disabilities, can benefit from it. Anna Marie, yeah, it's a very interesting topic, this one. And why not a psychologist? What is the difference between you as a life coach and a psychologist?
Yeah, that is a good question. Thanks, Fani, for asking that. Life coaching is a future-orientated process that focuses on setting and achieving goals, and equally focusing on internal challenges and thoughts that might hinder growth and change. And then psychology, on the other hand, really works with trauma from the past. Personality or behavior problems fall under psychological treatment. And I think psychology is primarily focused on the past and healing from the trauma, and life coaching focused on the future and how to proactively and positively bring about change. So both approaches have got a very important place, but with very different techniques and focus.
So what we must take note, there is structures available in society. We must just make use of it. Can you give us a practical example of one when one would choose a life coaching versus psychological coaching?
Yes, sure. So if someone, for example, wants to improve their work skills and integrate into the labor market, life coaching is ideal because it focuses on moving forward. You're talking about action plans and what goals they would like to achieve, how they would like to grow internally and in order to achieve that goal. On the other hand, we've got psychological therapy that would rather be suitable for someone who's diagnosed with, for example, bipolar depression or anxiety attacks or any kind of personality or mental disorders. Life coaches must therefore be very clear and determine beforehand if there is any trauma, depression, anxiety, or mental health issues before they can start to coach. They have to have an upfront discussion about this. I just want to say that it is possible to receive help from both professionals. I actually have a few clients that have a psychologist and myself as a coach. So we are working towards the same outcomes together, but we're using different techniques.
And it's just there to use and to come forward, take the first step, and we can be sure that legislation is clear about rehabilitation on one side and habilitation to help us to improve our skills and to address the issues that we may have in society and help us to give us equal opportunities in the workplace. Now, what we are specifically in this program discussing the issue about persons with disabilities. But yeah, a person with an impairment is becoming disabled because the society imposed disability on this specific person. So that's why we say we have an impairment, but we are persons with disabilities. Now, what do you think is the kind of challenges that people with impairments have just to cope every day in society, in the family context, or in the workplace?
Yeah, funny, the common challenges we are all aware of is stigmatization by society. People don't know how to react with people with impairments or how to interact with people with impairments and disabilities. And the assumption is often that a cognitive impairment is present.
Yeah.
People with disabilities are not less intelligent. And the sad thing is that we often see highly gifted individuals reaching their ceilings because of society's perceptions. There are mainly 4 points contained in legislation which specify the challenges of people with impairments. It's physical discrimination, communication, information discrimination, and also attitude or stigma. So the first one is the physical discrimination. That's obstructions in the environment that will limit mobility or access, such as stairs without ramps or narrow doors or inaccessible public transport. I just want to mention an example here. A couple of months ago, I took my mom to a funeral at a church. She walks with a walking frame, assisted walking, and there was no access. There was only steps, and we had to walk probably for half an hour around the church to get access to some kind of entrance that just had a smaller step. And I think in this day and age, that is unacceptable. So that's the physical discrimination that we're talking about. Then we also get the communication discrimination. Yeah. And those are challenges in conveying or receiving information due to differences in language, speech, hearing or sight. For example, a lack of sign language interpreter on TV, or, for example, subtitles on TV. And then finally, we also have information discrimination, when information is not provided in accessible formats, such as print material that's not available in Braille or large print.
Yeah.
So all of the above are factors that, according to law, it must be taken into account. And in addition, people with abilities can also experience fatigue because they must do extra effort for daily tasks on a physical level, but also to prove that they are good enough.
Yeah,
it's physically and emotionally incredibly exhausting, and this also then leads to consistent stress and potentially even burnout and depression.
Yeah, and it's so interesting what you say. People must always prove themselves that they are skilled enough if you compare persons with impairments with non-disabled people, and it's actually so unfair. And that is where the life coach comes in to help us as a person with a disability that have a hearing impairment, in my case, that must cope in society and must compete on an equal basis. But the playing ground is where the problem starts, the interaction with society. And therefore, it's important to say to the community that disability is imposed by a person with an impairment. And that is what's actually the disabling factor. So we want the person to change, but not necessarily the case. The society must take responsibility. But in the whole process, we've been exposed, and that is where we need a person like you, Anna-Marie Ross, that's a life coach that can help us to get perspective on these issues and these challenges that we have. Anna-Marie, it's time for music. And then I will continue talking to you as a life coach. It's our program Community Matters on Cape Pulpit. Stay tuned. Welcome to our program Community Matters. My guest is Anna-Marie Ross. She's a life skills coach, and she is explaining to us the importance of life coaching. And we just asked Anna-Marie a question about the barriers that persons with disability face. And you have very strong feelings about the attitudinal barriers, our attitudes and how our attitudes can disable people. Do you want to expand on that?
Yes, thank you, Fani. I really do think that the attitude or the stigma of the society is a massive, massive challenge. It's all these assumptions and discrimination that influence how people with disabilities are treated or perceived, which often then leads to the exclusion or the marginalization of these people. So, for example, people with impairments who are not considered for promotions because it's assumed that they cannot do the job.
Yeah.
And then they are employed in lower positions. And that is just unfair and a massive, massive challenge for us as a society to change.
Yeah, and then we sit there as persons who have impairments, and we don't know what is the next step to take. Now, the good news is the next step is talking to somebody like Anna-Marie Ross that can help us, give us perspective on the situation and plan with us. Of course, we must make our own choices, but we need somebody to look at a different perspective on the issue, on our challenges, because this is the barriers that people who have impairments face on a daily basis. And that as because a society that's inaccessible. Anna-Marie, is it still a long road before there are no more stigmas that we referred to just now and discrimination? Now, be practical. How can life coaching help and support?
That's such a good question. Thank you, Fani. Although such a lot of work is being done by the NCPD and other organizations to address and change these stigmas and assumptions, we cannot wait for the world around us to change.
Yes.
We must change within ourselves. My thinking must change. And I include each one of us in here. It's your thinking, my thinking. We must be more awake in our thinking, Fani. We must switch off our autopilot and our automatic thinking, and we must move over to conscious thinking. That's the figurative thinking about your thinking. Life coaching helps the individual to wake up, so to speak, to your own assumptions and belief systems that drives your own results. So an interesting thing is about the brain, Fani, is it's designed to see what we believe. For example, if you feel that you are not intelligent enough, or that you don't deserve a position, or that life is really unfair towards you, there is a structure in your brain, it's called the reticular activating system, that will look for proof of this thought. It confirms your assumptions or your belief system. In other words, whatever you believe, your brain will see and it will confirm it. So in case you're thinking, I'm not good enough, your brain would notice all the ways where you fall short. And it will become a spiral of reasons why you are not good enough. And if you believe this, you will start seeing this as well. So as soon as that's a thought, your brain will see it and it will be your truth and your brain's truth. It's also important to look at the other side. If you believe that you are good enough, your brain will see it and it will provide the information to confirm this. And this is why positive thinking is so important. It's crucial to realize the wisdom in what you think is who you become.
Yeah.
We all have these assumptions and belief systems that drive us, Fani. We get them from our culture, from religion, how our parents told us what to believe, our teachers. Once I worked with someone that was visually impaired, if I may share the story quickly.
Yes.
It was a teacher that she was working in a primary school, and she was told that she would never meet anyone who would want to marry her. She believed this throughout her whole life. All experiences that we have had become part of our thinking. It becomes our truth and our belief system. In life coaching, we have deep conversations around these assumptions and belief systems, and also their role in one's life. Do they still serve us? Are they still true for us now? It's a very powerful process. And I just want to mention here that the lady in question indeed met someone. I'm uncertain if they got married, but she realized through coaching that I am good enough to be loved. So she challenged her own assumption. She realized that it's not the truth. She replaced it with a positive assumption, I am worth it. And then it changed her, and currently she's a different person. So that is the power of coaching and of changing your thinking.
Annemarie Ross, she explained to us the importance of life coaching and the way we address the challenges as persons with disabilities or non-disabled people in society. What I'm learning from what you've said is that you are it's actually possible to rewire your brain on an ongoing basis, because if you tell yourself these positive things, and that's what you become. And that's very important for us as persons with disabilities that have the challenge of stigma. And I want you to expand a little bit on the issue of life coaching and how you teach us and help us as persons with disabilities in this matter to address the stigma and to overcome it. What is your opinion here?
Yeah. So again, Fani, I have no influence on the thinking or perceptions or assumptions of people around me. But what I do have is I have control over my own thinking and perceptions and assumptions. And a few ways in which life coaching can help the individual's experience of stigmatization is, firstly, one of the topics during these conversations is that we can focus on strengthening self-image. It enables the individual to use their voice and to stand up for their rights. And part of this is to build self-advocacy skills so that they can effectively communicate their needs in a confident way, in a way that says, I belong here.
Yeah.
And then secondly, in life coaching, we can also encourage behavioral change by setting clear goals and developing clear strategies. Life coaching can help people to have a voice and stand up for what they need and want. Also, to adjust their own reactions if the situation does not improve. For example, instead of becoming angry or discouraged or withdrawing, for example, rather ask more questions to try and understand either the person or the situation better. And then thirdly, which is also very important, is leadership development, Fani. Life coaching can strengthen the individual's development as a leader. And this type of coaching doesn't necessarily look different for people who do not have impairments, because the principles are the same. It is equally powerful.
Yeah, that is very, very interesting. And I was so apologetic for many, many years. And when I get interaction with people, I would say, sorry, I've got a hearing impairment and I apologize for that. And this is actually helping the issue of stigma, because I had to grow through that process to change my own perception and help changing the stigma in society. But it's now time for music, and then I'll continue talking to Anna-Marie Ross, a life coach. Stay tuned. This is our program Community Matters on Cape Pulpit, and my guest is Anna-Marie Ross, and she's a life coach, and we are going to look in this program and all the aspects of life coaching and how the community, specifically persons with disabilities, can benefit from it. Anna-Marie, you mentioned earlier that burnout sometimes occurs. It sounds like a big issue, big challenge for persons who have impairments. Can life coaching help a bit to prevent it?
Absolutely, Fani. Individuals with disabilities work very hard with their brains all the time, because they must listen with more attention. They must look more closely, or they must step more carefully. They must focus to do better than average to overcome the stigma. They must just work twice as hard to think about things that people without disabilities can just assume that. So all of us, interesting fact about the brain as well, have got a limited amount of neural energy, which is the energy of the brain. So people with disabilities, their energy is depleted much faster. Mm-hmm. And with this exhaustion, it often leads to anxiety, burnout, and sometimes even depression. So life coaching can help the individual to develop healthy habits, to decide on physical exercises that are appropriate, work on self-care and stress management. One works together with clients to identify stress factors, and you can recognize early signs of burnout and develop plans that give more certainty to the brain. People can also work on techniques about how to rest and how to relax. A crucial topic here is also how to stay motivated, Fani. Our brains respond strongly to unfairness. If you have to try twice as hard and there is still a stigma and unfairness by society, it's very, very difficult to stay positive. So that's really a massive topic in, for life coaching and with a person with a disability.
If I look back in my life from a hearing person, then I became hearing impaired, and for more than 20 years I was a deaf person, and then I got this cochlear implants, thank God, and now I can hear to a certain extent in a controlled environment, of course, but all along the way there was a process of adapting to circumstances. And this is my next question to you. Adaptability is a crucial issue if you look at the disability perspective, and it's important also for you to address that then in the life coaching process?
Absolutely. Funny, at the very beginning, I mentioned that everything changes around us at a remarkable speed. So challenges that people experience, whether you are impaired or not, daily changes which requires that we adapt, whether it is stress management, a new diagnosis as a result of your health, whether it's how to navigate aging, that of your own or of your loved ones, you know, perhaps your own abilities that diminish, we must adapt and change daily. Mm. Life coaching can help to rewire your brain. Our brain wants to keep us safe. It wants to keep us in a comfort zone. It wants to keep the status quo.
Yeah.
It is a function of the brain to protect us. Any change in the brain requires an increase of neural energy. And the brain wants to preserve neural energy. So it wants to preserve that energy. And so therefore, no change, keep the status quo, because that is what I know. It wants to keep us in that comfort zone. So we must thank our brain that it wants to protect us.
Yeah.
But we must also train our brain to be more comfortable with discomfort.
Yeah.
And for example, what this looks like on a practical level, take a new road to work,
yeah,
start a new hobby, perhaps a new morning routine, try a new recipe, go and eat out at a different restaurant or a new holiday destination. It's small changes. That is how one's wiring in your brain becomes more fit and used to change. The easier we handle change, the more enjoyable our experience of life will be.
Yeah, and we as persons with impairments need support. We need reasonable accommodation to live to the full, to be able to do a job, not always, as you've mentioned, we must prove ourselves, and the key word is there, reasonable accommodation. So how can employees with impairments or who have impairments receive better support in general workplace? What is your opinion?
So from a workplace, there are a few ways in which companies can assist people with impairments, Fani. Firstly, employers have to invest the time in training regarding the law in terms of the rights of people with disabilities and also about reasonable accommodation.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to know about what people with disabilities, what their rights are, and the NCPD can be contacted here for training as well. I mean, they do an absolutely amazing job. And if they can't help you, they'll be able to refer you to someone else. Then secondly, as an employer, you must create a safe space for disclosure. Many employees hesitate to share their needs out of a fear for stigma.
Yeah.
So we have to create confidential channels where individuals can communicate their needs without being penalized or even judged.
Absolutely.
And then thirdly, Fani, a person with a disability does not exist in a vacuum. So cooperation between all stakeholders is critical. So for example, human resources have to ensure that physical or technological adjustments are in place. Secondly, bring in an occupational therapist. They can do an assessment on what this individual need in the workplace.
Yeah.
And then thirdly, perhaps also a life coach if you know the person needs to focus on growth and career advancement, and if needed, even a psychologist. And again, I just want to mention the NCPD knows all the legal aspects inside out, and they should be the first port of call. So an employer who truly understand disability inclusivity is not just ethical,
yeah,
it's strategic. When employees with disabilities are fully included, everyone,
yeah,
is enriched by it.
And actually, it's a human rights issue, and it's a business decision. The more and more people who have impairments can get back to the labor market, the better for our country. But the employers must understand the various types of or kinds of impairments and to deal with it is on its own merit, and then help us to overcome the barriers created by society that we referred earlier in this program, to overcome that barriers so that we can participate on an equal basis. And we need people like you, Anna-Marie, that's a life coach, to help us, to support us, who understand how to help us to reach full potential. And that's so amazing if I think back 30, 40 years ago in the disability sector. There was nothing. So we have so much to be thankful for. But it's now time for music, and then I'll continue talking to Anna Marie Ross, a life coach. Stay tuned. This is our program Community Matters on Radio Cape Pulpit. My guest, Anna Marie Ross, she's a life coach, and we're back discussing the issue of life coaching and how the community, specifically persons with disabilities, can benefit from it. Anna Marie, to finish off our discussion today, I think it's for us to summarize, to say what makes the process of life coaching so impactful.
Bonnie, life coaching is an approach which strongly focuses on sustainable change. Different coaching models may vary slightly, but it includes five core principles. The first one is ownership. The individual takes full responsibility for their own growth and change. The coach may ask questions and facilitate thinking, but the client itself is the driving force behind all the decisions and actions. If you wanted advice, you can maybe consult a parent or a friend or a colleague, but coaching is not advice. Then secondly, neuroscience, and specifically my approach is based on neuroscience, and that's a big word for just how does the brain work? The mechanisms of the brain, which if we understand these mechanisms better and understand our own thinking and behavior better, we will also understand the thinking and behavior of others better. And that brings about sustainable change. Then the third point there is self-discovery. Instead of giving solutions, like I've mentioned a little bit earlier, the coach helps the client to discover their own answer. This promotes insight, learning, and also long-term change. Because as soon as you give someone advice, it might imply change, but on a shorter term. That's if you true. Have that insight yourself, it implies longer-term change. Yes. So the fourth key principle of coaching is also goal orientation. It's not just a coffee that you have and it's a random conversation.
Yeah.
Coaching is always focused on clear and measurable goals. It's never vague, which of course are set by the individual themselves. Everything in the process is directed at achieving specific outcomes. So we address the goal itself, but also how the individual have to grow in order to reach that specific goal. And then the fifth and last point that makes coaching so important, and that's a core principle of coaching, is the action and accountability. So every session ends with a concrete action step to follow. The client is accountable for their own progress, and it's supported by the coach to keep them moving forward. This proactive approach helps the brain to release that serotonin, oxytocin, dopamine, and that motivates us to keep on moving forward. It's a wonderful transformative process, Oni.
Anna Marie, thank you so much for the insights you shared with us today, and I look forward to speaking with you again at a future opportunity. But what is your contact particulars?
Thank you, Fani. My email address is annamarie at mindskills.co.za, and my phone number is 083-296-2534.
Can you repeat that contact details for us?
My email address is annamarie@mindskills.co.za, and my phone number is 083-296-2534.
That is the contact particulars of Anna Marie Ross. She's a life coach. You can send an email to me at fani.dt@mweb.co.za. Goodbye.
You're listening to Cape Pulpit, 729 AM. From word to your heart.
5-ster mengelslaai. Bestanddele. Slaai saus. 6 knoffeltroontjies opgeskil en in folie toegedraai. 3 middelslag eie geskil en in kwarte gesny, olie om die eie te verf, 'n halwe koppie appelasyn, 'n kwart koppie suurlemoensap, 1 en 'n kwart koppie olie plus ekstra, sout en vars gemaalde swart peper na smaak. Vir die slaai, slaaiblare van jou keuse, 2 koppies gaar gepluisde hoender, 1 400 gram blik mieliepitte, of gespoel of goed gedreineer, 1 pakkie soortlose streepie spek, bros gebraai, 1 avocado geskil en ontpit, en in skywe of blokkies gesny, 1 of 2 tamaties in blokkies gesny, 2 handgekookte eiers, afgedop en in lengte in skyfies gesny. Die methode, vir die slaai saus, plaas die folie pakkie met die knoffeltoontjie saam met die eie kwarte op die draadrak van 'n oondrooster pan. Verf die eie met die ekstra olie, bak vir 40 minute in 'n voorverhitte oond van 200 grade Celsius. Druk die knoffel uit, hul skilletjie en pulseer saam met die eie. Asyn en sap in die voedselverwerker. Voeg die olie in 'n dun straaltjie by totdat die heeltemal vermeng is. Geur met sout en peper en hou een kant in 'n bakkie. Die slaai, rangskik die slaaiblare op 'n slaaibord en bedrup met die helfte van die slaaisaus. Gebruik jou hande om dit liggies te meng. Rangskik die res van die slaai bestanddele bo-op en bedien die res van die saus in 'n bakkie saam met die slaai. Dit is genoeg vir 4 tot 6 mense saam met 'n hoofgereg. Eet en geniet.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 AM. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.